I guess if I would put in any 2 cents, you know, lots of, as Brother John was speaking, lots of things came to mind. But one is, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me.
Amen.
He told us that.
Amen.
When we love one another, we're loving him. Right? And if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. That's that. Another thing he was talking about. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I appreciate, I'm thankful to the Lord for the message that we've heard already. And as we continue this morning, you know, sometimes in this world, something will happen. We don't have any control over it, but it really affects us as God's people in here. Sometimes we get anxious. Sometimes we get that righteous indignation. Now, if you know where I'm headed with this, that some things that came out of New York this week. Can make you anxious, and that righteous indignation within you. It ought not to be this way. It violates God's word. But they don't care about God's word. It is evident. They don't care about God. But we do. Let me give you an application of what's on my mind this morning from Genesis 48. Genesis 48. In the interest of time, I'll just tell you what's going on here. Jacob is old. His eyes are dim. He didn't think he'd ever see Joseph again, but he's blessed to see Joseph. Not only Joseph, but his children. Isn't God good? He's good. He was merciful to Jacob. I'm going to begin reading in Genesis 48. Hope you found it by now. I'll begin in reading in verse 8. And Israel, that's Jacob, Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, "Who are these?" Now, as we read this, I'm going to read several verses, but there's one particular thought that I'm getting to. But as you listen, listen to Jacob. Now, Jacob gets a bum rap sometimes. That trickster, that supplanter. But he was a child of God. God was with him. God blessed him. When it talks about Jacob being a plain man, if you look up that word, it means pious. So you be careful how you impugn Jacob. God was with him. God blessed him. And in some of these verses we're going to read, it's going to tell us how you're going to hear his faith. You're going to hear the confidence that Jacob had learned to have in his God. That God took care of him in spite of Jacob. Just like he does us. Just like he does me. So listen for Jacob's faith and how he learned to trust God. And Joseph said unto his father, "They are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place." And he said, "Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, "I had not thought to see thy face. And lo, God hath showed me also thy seed." And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand, and Israel toward his, Ephraim in his right hand, and Manasseh in his left hand. The right hand, by the way, is the place of favor. The place normally you'd find the firstborn. Okay, this is what Joseph presented to his father. and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out Jacob stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head. Now, if you got this straight, Jacob's going to have to cross his hands to lay his hands upon those children. Jacob had already made sure that he put them where he thought they needed to be. But Jacob changed and crossed his hands and laid it upon Ephraim's head, and who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly. For Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now, if Jacob had not already adopted these two children of Joseph that were born in Egypt, he did it just then. Let my name be upon them. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is my firstborn. This is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know it. He's blind. Probably partially blind. From reading this, you get the idea he could see shadows, but he couldn't really recognize faces. But he said, I know it, my son. I know it. You see, God in this matter, he also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them. Here's my point. Joseph thought his father had made a mistake. Joseph thought that his father didn't know what he was doing. What did he say? I know it, my son. I know it. How much more? Now here's my point. Here's my subject. How much more do we, when we're anxious, when sometimes we're even angry, and we think God doesn't know? You know, we've said recently a number of times, and I found it on Facebook, but I like it anyway. When we're worrying and when we're anxious, it's like we're saying we're not trusting God that he knows what he's doing. We're not trusting God to get it right, I think is what this expression was. Joseph said, Not so, my father. And Israel said, I know it, my son. I know it. Brethren, God knoweth. I'm not saying that he causes everything to happen in this world. I'm not saying that everything's absolutely predestinated. What I'm saying is God knows. He is on his throne. Nebuchadnezzar found out that he doeth his will among the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of men, and none can stay his hand or say to him, What doest thou? And when we have those times when we are anxious and disgusted and disappointed and angry at times, when we have those times, it is good for us to remember the Lord knoweth. And I want to try to make 3 points. I take 3 passages this morning, and I'll try to deal with those sufficiently. But 3 passages, 3 points, and then I want to give you a takeaway with another one. Passages that tell us God, the Lord, knoweth. The Lord knoweth. That will comfort us in our struggle. That will comfort us in our times of anxiety about the way things are in this world. We can't change some of those things, but we can control how we respond to it. We can control how we abide in the Lord, how we continue in His Word, how we observe His commandments in spite of what men are doing around us. We can do those things. We can live in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord, regardless of those things we wish were different. The Lord knoweth. All right? The first one I want to notice, you'll find it in Psalm 1. That's a good psalm, isn't it? Psalm 1, verse 6. And the point I want to make with it is that God will be with you, as you've already heard this morning now. If you abide in Him, He'll abide in you. You believe that?
Absolutely.
Thank you. All right. Psalm 1, verse 6, the whole psalm is wonderful, but let me just get the verse 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. If you're anxious and upset about what's going on in New York, you just remember that. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God's going to deal with that someday. God's going to settle the score. In His time, in His way, He's going to do it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. So rest in the Lord. The Lord knoweth. But in this passage, he speaks of the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. And that knowing in this passage is an intimate knowledge. As a matter of fact, it's a sharing and fellowship of his own ways. Because the righteous are those who have his spirit, who have his love planted within them, who have been given faith to respond to his word in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, because it's the Lord's ways that they're living. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. So as we think about then, the Lord not only knows it, it's like he is. So when we can live our life according to His word, according to His ways, and follow in that way which is pleasing unto Him, He will be with us. And we need to remember that no matter what this world goes to, no matter what kind of laws are passed in our land, we wish they were different. I can't change anything that's going on in New York, can you? But I can sure have some impact on how I respond to it. God's people need to be letting their light shine. That's part of the problem. God's people are not letting their light shine bright enough to have such an influence that we should. So we just need to be faithful to do what we can that's pleasing to the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 3, some of these I'm just going to hit quickly, but 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 13 says, "And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?" His ways. The way of the righteous. If we're living that way, If we're applying these precious truths, if we're letting our light shine before others, we have the promise of his word. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? I'm not telling you you're not going to ever have any problems. What I am telling you is that the Lord will be with you in those problems. And that makes all the difference. Don't you know it made a difference when Jesus was in the furnace with the three Hebrew children? He didn't deliver them from having to go into it. He went in there with them. I love that passage, don't you? And that king that said, and who is that God that should deliver you out of my hand? They knew that God would deliver them out of his hand. Perhaps they didn't know that they'd have to go in the fire to see it. But he did. And not only that, but he showed that king who it was that could deliver them out of his hand. Did not we cast in three? Lo, I see four. And the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Now God showed that king who he was. Jesus didn't reveal himself to those men on the road to Emmaus until later in prayer. But Nebuchadnezzar was able to see who that was, the Son of God. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Which, if you've got a reference Bible, when you read that in 1 Peter chapter 3, it takes you back to Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Have you ever experienced that? I have. I have had experiences in my life where there were those who were very opposed to me, just being around me for some reason. And later, they became very good friends. That can happen if you follow godliness. Now, if you respond in kind, you may never be a friend. But if you respond in kindness, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. They may not like you, but God will put something there to cause peace. Isn't that wonderful? No matter how this world turns, we've got help from the Lord. In everyday life, in the situations we face, if a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies be at peace with him. And if we be followers of that which is good, what does he say? If we be followers of that which, who is he who will harm you? That's what I'm after. Who is he who will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? So that brings us to what Paul said to the church at Philippi. And by the way, I noticed a comma in the Word of God this morning I never had paid attention to before. And it meant something. I learned something. How about that? You ought to be happy when your pastor learns something. All right? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, after Paul had said whatsoever things are good and just and holy and honest, all those things that he went through. Maybe I better turn to that. I'm not getting that text. Philippians chapter 4. Remember now, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Okay? It's his ways. And when they please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace. All right, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he said, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things, now verse 9 is what I'm after. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Okay? For a man's ways please the Lord. These things do. and the God of peace shall be with you. We want the Lord with us. There's so many things that happen in this world that cause anxiety, that cause anger, that cause fear, that cause worry. Just remember, the Lord knows. And He's told us to draw nigh to Him, and He will draw nigh to us. But He's told us what we need to be doing in the meantime so that the God of peace can be with us. Isn't that wonderful to know that God's told us how we can have the Lord with us? Oh, I agree with Brother John. We need that so desperately. Now, you're probably wondering, where's that comma that he found today? Verse 9. Those things. Now, normally, you'd see a sentence without a comma after things right here. Those things, comma. Well, what he's saying here, he's not saying now, well, let me read it. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. He's not saying, now you remember all those things that you heard of me and you saw in me and learned about me. He's not saying about all those things. He's saying those things. What he had just said. What he had just said for us to keep in mind and to do. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. Those things. You know, you can listen to the news all day long and you can just be in a terrible state of mind. You know, I just had to quit watching the news. I used to love to sit there and watch Fox News and listen to them. I can't stand to do that anymore. It just drags me down. It just fills my mind with everything that's wrong in the world. I need to know what's good and what's honest and what's lovely. I need to keep my mind on those things and to remember that who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? The Lord knows. Find comfort in that. This world is not our friend. Find comfort in the Lord, just like we heard earlier. All right? Let me go to the second. Not only has he promised that he'll be with us, he's also promised we're going to be with him. This goes real well with John 15, doesn't it? Psalm 37, verse 18. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. What I want you to get here is that your inheritance, what the Lord has for us, what the Lord has done for us, has secured for us an inheritance forever. That includes right now. Right now, we are the children of God. Right now, we know we have an inheritance with the Lord forever. But that inheritance that we have with the Lord is not some big bank account that folks think about when they inherit something in this world. Not only is it heaven's pure world, not only is it a tremendous place that we have to look forward to, He's going to change us. Hallelujah. These vile bodies are going to be changed and fashioned like unto His glorious body without sin. We're going to be undefiled. We're going to be immortal. Now, what Peter talks about our inheritance? let me see. He says about our inheritance to an inheritance incorruptible. That was a word I didn't get while ago. Incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away. Reserved. That means he loved us. He has loved us with an everlasting love. Jesus, the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he came and showed us the greatest love. And we can never be separated from his love. Let's enjoy that love today. Let's enjoy it every day. No matter how this world goes, you can walk in the love of God, and the appreciation of God, and the appreciation of what he's done for us, what we have awaiting us. And he's even given us the church where we can come together as a body of believers and rejoice in what he's done, and rejoice in his word and be instructed out of his word, so that when we leave this place, we can live in a way that we can walk in the ways of God, bringing glory to his name and bringing peace in our hearts. Oh, that's what I need in this world. This world is so oftentimes unpeaceful and unfriendly. Oh, but in the Lord, there's peace. And he's given us that inheritance. Let me read it again. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. And by the way, that's not because of what they've done. It's because of who they are. Now, our happiness in this life has a lot to do with what we do. But the righteous are righteous because of what God has done for them. Who they are. Remember in Matthew 25 when he divides his sheep from the goats, and he talks about all that they had done. And they said, when did we do this? And he said, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. They weren't sheep because of what they did. They were sheep because of who they were.
That's right.
God's people. And bless your hearts, we're God's people. And we need to be letting our light shine. And we need to be salt. Have that preserving influence. There needs to be some more salt in New York City, doesn't it? And a lot of other places. Even in our own lives. Needs to be more of this kind of salt so that we can have a good influence, so that we can have that preserving influence in our day, knowing the Lord knoweth. You know, as you go through these and you see those kind of things happening, and if it causes anxiety, whatever, just remind yourself as if the Lord's telling you, I know it, my son. I know it. That brings me a lot of comfort, just to remember God knows. Third point I want to make. He's there for it, and really we've already made it, but there's another verse that speaks to us about that, is that he's with us in every trial. In every trial we face, God's there for us. He's there for us. Now, things will go a whole lot better if you've already been abiding in him.
Amen.
You know, Daniel didn't have to go find the Lord when he realized he was about to be thrown into a den of lions. The very thing that caused him to be thrown into a den of lions was praying unto his God. And so he went and prayed unto his God as he did aforetime. See, he was in the habit. He was abiding in the Lord. And the Lord was with him. Even in a den of lions. Isn't that comforting to know? You know, I a few years ago, I would have thought nothing could ever happen like that in this country. I've seen some things in recent decades that makes me realize things could change drastically in the good old U.S. of A. And our help is not in men. Our help is not in technology. Our help is not in a government. Our help is in the Lord, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God is able. Is anything too hard for the Lord?
Nothing's hard.
No. All right? So, Proverbs 16, verse 17. Proverbs 16, verse 17. The highway of the upright, who are the same as the righteous, by the way. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. In other words, if you stay on this highway, that's the safest place for you to be. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. That's a profound statement. It's God's way. It's the way he knows. It's the way he is. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Your life will be a whole lot better when you stay on this highway. The highway of the upright. The highway of the righteous. The highway of those who have tasted that God is gracious. That's the best place for us to be. It's what we try to instill in our children. It's what we keep reminding our children. It's what we keep reminding ourselves. You know, children are not the only ones that have a tendency to go astray every now and then. It's the good way. And we're to walk therein, the good way, highway of the upright. Also, remember 2 Peter 2 and 9. The Lord knoweth, here's our third knoweth text. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, with an S. It's not just the idea of temptation. It's not the whole of it. No, he knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Every one of them. Each time, God knows how to deliver us. The type of deliverance that we experience sometimes is different. But God knows what's needed. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that God knows everything that we need and is able to supply exactly what we need? God doesn't bless you with somebody else's blessings that worked before and say, here, try this. No, when we're abiding in him and we have the leadership of his spirit, when we have the understanding of his word and we know what the highway is and we know what's good for us and what we need to avoid, bless your hearts, it helps us to have that discernment to know what to do in our times of temptations. Your temptations are not always the same. Satan has a way of trying to catch us off guard, and he's really good at it. You know? But God is there with us to help us. He knows how to deliver the godly. He knows. See, we keep coming back to that point. He knows. We don't. Now, sometimes we do, but sometimes we are caught off guard. Sometimes we don't know exactly which way to turn. Sometimes we don't know just exactly when to move and when to sit still. But God does. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. But here's the rest of that. And to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now we have to be careful not to put our thumbs under our lapel and our nose in the air sometimes. We have to be careful. That might be a child of God who's acting so ungodly. Maybe the Lord hasn't shown them the way yet. And so we're to speak the truth, but speak it in love. We're to respond in kindness. We're to respond in the right way. I absolutely abhor what was done in New York, but I know there's some good people. I've been there. I've met some good folks in New York. Don't blanket condemn. There's good folks in there who are grieving at what these few elites have done. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve unto the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. God's going to take care of this. God's going to deal with that. Let's just keep looking to Him. Now we can, you know, it's no problem for folks to know where we stand and speak the truth and stand for the truth. But bless your hearts, we rest vengeance in the hands of a God who knows and will do just exactly what's right in His own time. All the while, let's abide in Him. Let's continue in His word. Let's travel the highway of the upright, the ways that's pleasing to the Lord, so that even our enemies can be at peace with us. See, there's comfort in the Word of God, isn't there? There's power in the Word of God because it tells us how powerful God is to take care of our problems in the way that He knows is best. We're just guessing. God knows. The Lord knoweth. Another verse you'll find in Psalm 145, verse 20. The Lord preserveth them that love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. Psalm 145, 20. The Lord preserveth them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. When the Lord comes again, you know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I love how that both 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, every chapter speaks of the Lord coming again. Every chapter, both books, one way or another. When you're anxious in this world, when you get angry at the wicked, remember what Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. You know, we can rest even with all the things going on around us. We can find rest in the Lord. Sure we can. If our mind and our heart set upon Him, if we're seeking His face and His loving kindness, if our heart is right and in the right place, yes, we can find rest and peace. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your soul. Okay. Come unto me all ye labored, heavy laden, He said, and I'll give you rest. There's a rest that He gives, but there's a continued rest that we can find when we take His yoke upon us and learn of Him. All right? So He says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. To me, this is a snapshot of what's going to happen when Jesus comes again. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Now that just speaks of the ungodly. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and he talks about what's going to happen. How the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's going to do that first. Then in flaming fire, he's going to take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction in the glory of his presence. Bless your hearts. The Lord knoweth. The Lord knoweth. And he's able to deliver the godly out of temptations. He's able to help us. He's with us. We will shall be forever with him. Let's enjoy his presence now. Abide in him now. The joy of heaven will be eternal. But we need his presence now to enjoy each day, because there will continue. You know, when I hate to keep referring to that thing in New York, but after pondering that for a while, my mind, you know, after all the garbage that we've had thrown at the Christian faith in the last decades, I know it's been going on for a long time, but particularly, and I'm not going to get into the list, you know what it is. My thoughts were, what's next? What's next? I mean, I know there's no end to the ungodliness that men can bring about. But what's next? The Christian faith has been under attack for a long time. The homes, our churches, the Word of God. You know, back in 2000 when I used to get this thing in the mail from pastor to pastor. James Dobson and Focus on the Family used to put it together and send it out. I think they probably still do, but I left it off a long time ago. There was a man, and no criticism here, I'm just simply saying his affiliation was he was Methodist. And the point he made, this was a discussion among four different pastors about the new millennium, what we have to face in the years ahead. And this man made the point that there's so many versions of the Bible in use today, and that was 19 years ago. Wow. And he said there's so many versions of the Bible being read today and preached from pulpits that there's going to come a time, and we're here, by the way, where people don't even recognize Scripture when they hear it. Let's see. You see any problem with that? Oh, I see a big problem with that. I want to know what God says about the matter. Men can have their opinions, but I want to know what God says about it. So we're there. We're there. Abide in him. Stay in this word. God knoweth. You got a problem? Go to him. Go to his word. Go to him. Draw nigh unto the Lord. He will draw nigh unto you. My takeaway, the last verse we want to use, it says the Lord knoweth. 2 Timothy 2:19. No matter what happens in this world, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. That brings me such comfort. The Lord knoweth. 2,000 years ago, Paul could say by inspiration, the Lord already knew all his children. To me, that's a wonderful proof text for the doctrine of election. But I'm not finished with the verse. How wonderful it is to know what God has done for us. The admonition at the end is, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ. Have you taken his name upon you? Is he your Lord and Savior? Now, whether you know it or not, if you're his child, he is your Lord and Savior. But I'm speaking about in a sense of abiding in him. I'm thinking in the sense of, is he on the throne of your heart? Is he the chiefest of your affections? We all come short. I say that, and I know that needs to be the truth, that I know I come short. But we try. We try to worship him and adore him as the one who loved us and gave himself for us that we might be with him forever. And we want to live that way. And so Paul said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The wicked are not going to do that. We know that. God says that. But if you've taken the name of Christ on you, depart from iniquity. So the world can see who are the sheep. So the world can know who's trusting the Lord. So the world can see the righteous traveling that highway, the upright traveling that highway. We can let our light shine, all the while realizing God knoweth. So when you're tempted to be anxious and we're tempted to be angry about the things, the way the things are in the world, just imagine the Lord speaking to you just like Jacob did to Joseph. I know it, my son. I know it. Find peace and contentment in knowing that God's in control. He knows what's going on. Nothing's ever surprised him. You cannot acquaint him with anything. And in his time, he'll judge. In the meantime, just remember, the Lord knoweth. God bless you, is our prayer.